This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Here Be Sexist Vampires by Suzanne Wright, narrated by Justine Eyre and PJ Ocklin. Chapter 1. Sam. I knew before I even reached the doorstep of the building that someone was in my flat. I knew that they were unfamiliar. I knew that their mood was calm, cool, and I knew that they were a vampire, like me. When I reached the top level of the building, I found my sire's two dull-looking vampire guards stood outside my door as usual, seemingly unaware of the vampire inside. I thought about alerting them, but then curiosity came to call. The strange vampire had to be powerful in order to remain off the radar of the guards, and yet he, or she, apparently had no interest in concealing their presence from me. Okay, they had me intrigued. Just as calm and collected as the intruder, I unlocked the door and headed straight for the tiny, outdated kitchen. While rooting through my plastic shopping bag for the carton of milk, I called out, "I don't have all night, so I'd appreciate it if you told me what you want." At this point, I'd established by their scent that they were male, seeing as females tended to smell sweeter. I was also able to tell, going by the fizzing feeling in the flat, that this particular vampire was extremely powerful. A master vampire, for sure. The footsteps behind me were soft, slow, non-threatening. Whatever this vampire wanted, it wasn't a brawl.
"Evening, Miss Parker," he said politely. "I've been waiting for you."
It was rare that I heard such a well-spoken voice around this area of London. My neighbours, most of whom were drug addicts, poverty-stricken, or criminals, would be more than tempted to try to mug the bloke. Well, they would be in for one hell of a surprise if they did. Milk carton in hand, I finally turned to look at him. "So I see." As with all vampires, he had incredible sexual appeal, but his allure was even more intense because he was a cager vampire, something I knew just by the slight tint of amber in his irises. That amber would glow whenever he was angry, thirsty, or horny. Luckily enough, they weren't glowing now. All cager vampires had hypnotic beauty, and females were often called enchantresses. Why couldn't I have been a cager? Instead, I was a Svente vampire, the dullest of all three breeds. Three breeds? Well, you see, basically, you know how there are varying accounts of vampires? Some humans report us to be terribly aggressive with Hulk-like strength. Some report us to be entrancingly beautiful and charming. And others believe that we are actually more human-like than the stories say. Well, the reason for all the confusion is that there are actually different breeds. Sventes, like me, don't have hypnotic beauty like Kajas, or have super, super, super strength and speed like Pagori vampires, but we are stronger and faster than any human. But our bloodlust isn't overpowering, which means that we can walk amongst humans without being overwhelmed and tempted to cling to someone's artery. This particular Kaja had the most penetrating set of eyes. His lips were full, and his peppery black hair perfectly framed the upper part of his face, tickling his high cheekbones. His black shirt and black trousers had to be made to fit. They were snug enough to hint at his athletic build. Armani, I'd bet. He obviously wasn't some rogue vampire. So what was a posh, rich master vamp doing here? I folded my arms across my chest.
"Make it quick." "My name is Sebastian. I've been following you around for the past week."
I hadn't expected that. I'd thought he was here for Victor, my sire, or as I like to think of him, the spawn of the devil. Studying the Kaja's expression, I knew that he wasn't lying, but how could I not have noticed him? I considered myself a pretty alert, aware person. Either I was losing my touch, or he was really good.
"Who exactly are you?"
He mirrored my posture.
"I work directly for the Grand High Master."
The Grand High Master? Oh, this couldn't be good. He was the vampire of all vampires. I'd never met him, as it was a matter of invitation only. All I knew was that he lived somewhere in the Caribbean, on an off-the-map private island which he very rarely left.
What is it I'm supposed to have done?
Sebastian smiled.
As a tracker, it is my job to hunt and seize felons as directed by our Grand High Master. However, my main role for the past 2 weeks has been to seek out suitable candidates.
Suitable for what?
To keep it brief, His Grandness wishes to replace an exterminated squad in his private army, his legion. I spotted you when I attended your sire's gathering last week. He had you duel with a vampire of another bloodline, and I have to say you are, indeed, a tremendous fighter. Very strong for a Svente, but also very controlled. And your gift is substantial. I was most entertained. I believe you would make an excellent addition to the Legion.
Hang on a minute. You want me to fight for the Grand High Master? He had to be blowing smoke up my arse. In terms of hierarchy, my sire was low, 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 low down, which was why he persistently dueled for more territory, and had used me for the past 3 years to help with his pursuit of it. Add to that the fact that Sventes were considered lower class by the other breeds, because we were thought of as too tame, and this whole thing felt so real. My being noticed by Sebastian was the equivalent of a homeless person being singled out by the royal family.
You want to recruit me?
He nodded.
I will take you to the location where our Grand High Master resides, and you will partake in a test, along with the other potential candidates that have been selected by other scouts. If you are chosen, you will then join the Legion.
A short laugh of incredulity popped out. Thanks for the offer, but I must respectfully decline. You can let yourself out, seeing as you let yourself in. I filled the kettle with water and switched it on to boil.
You wish to decline, he said disbelievingly, slowly walking toward the kitchenette.
If the guards overhear this conversation...
They will not hear a thing, just as they cannot sense me. I placed a mental shield over the flat.
Oh, handy gift. That explained why I hadn't sensed him following me around. My sire could walk in any second.
And we would sense him well in advance.
Sebastian clasped his hands together.
Now, tell me why you are rejecting my offer.
I don't have the luxury of a choice, I said sulkily as I prepared my cup of coffee. Victor would never let me go. The prick.
Yes, I find Victor particularly territorial, even for a vampire. When did he turn you?
3 years ago. He found me when I was dying and told me that he could heal me, but that I would have to agree to serve him until he freed me from his hold. I hadn't known what the bloody hell any of that meant. I just hadn't wanted to die, so I'd said yes. If I had known, I wouldn't be standing here now. Sebastian narrowed his eyes.
Miss Parker?
Sam, I offered.
Sam, do you realize that by joining the Grand High Master's Legion, your freedom from Victor would instantly come into effect?
That made my head snap up.
I've got your attention now, haven't I? He said, smirking. He would not be able to override the decision of the Grand High Master.
I leaned against the counter as I sipped my coffee. Yeah, well, I don't see the point. I loathe Victor, but from what I've heard, once you sign up to run around after the big man, it's a lifelong position. If I took you up on your offer and was chosen to join the Legion, I'd still be serving someone. What's the difference? Sebastian seized my gaze, his tone all seriousness and assurance.
That is true. Any immediate employees of his are required to serve him for the entirety of their immortal lives. But I can assure you now that being in the service of His Grandness would be very different from your current circumstances. He is very fair, very principled, and would value your service and reward you, rather than exploit you and your gift the way your sire does.
My gift, I echoed. That's what got your attention, isn't it? It got everyone's attention. Typically, Svente gifts were only ever defensive, as opposed to offensive. Or boring, as many complained. My individual gift, however, was far from it. Sebastian wasn't the first vampire to try to coax me to leave Victor. but he was the first vampire to ever offer me a position that seemed worth risking Victor's wrath for.
As it happens, you had my attention well before you used it in the duel. But yes, I do believe that your gift would make you an excellent addition to the Legion. Wouldn't you consider serving your Grand High Master as an honor?
Yeah, but...
By joining the Legion, you can be part of something momentous. Your name would go down in vampire history. You would be respected, admired, and prized by all of vampire kind. You cannot tell me that this is not something that appeals to you.
If I was being totally honest, I'd admit that being part of something so grand was tempting, especially when I hadn't really done anything that I could be proud of in my 20 years of human life, before then being turned into a vampire. Even before I was turned and had to disappear from my family's radar, I'd never had much to boast of. I'd always wanted to be something more, and had wanted to attend university so that I could do a degree in law. Of course, the vampirism put a stop to that. Sebastian sighed as he leaned against the refrigerator. Then he cast a look at the faded, slightly rusty thing and moved away from it as though it might stain his suit. I stifled a smile.
Since observing you duel last week, I have followed you and observed you further. I have seen that, even in spite of your strong dislike of Victor, you are loyal and trustworthy. I have noticed that you are also headstrong and ambitious. Good qualities, both of which Victor seems determined to crush.
I shrugged. What can I say? That's Victor.
He already controls your actions. Do you want him to have control over your emotions and strengths as well? Of course you don't. His grandness would respect these qualities, respect you, and give you room to be your own person. He certainly wouldn't force you to be his lover.
This bloke really knew how to play someone. Haven't you heard that being a vampire's consort is an honor? I said bitterly.
That all depends on the vampire.
Look, you can't be sure that his grandness would be interested in having me in the Legion. I'd only be a possible candidate. I can't just flit off to attend some tryout. Victor would lose the plot. Would you like to know what he does whenever he's stressed out or I rebel? Drags an innocent human, usually a kid, off the street and kills them slowly and painfully. He gets off on fear and pain. Sebastian's face and voice softened.
Is that not all the more reason to escape his hold? Sam, I know his grandness extremely well, and I know that he will have the same opinion about you and your potential that I do. I am more than confident that you will impress him as you have impressed me.
I rubbed my temples, totally undecided. It wasn't just Victor's response I was wary of. It was all very well Sebastian saying the big man was super, but of course he'd say that. The last thing I wanted was to be serving an even more powerful arsehole. But then he couldn't be the Grand High Master if he was all that bad, could he? And again, neither option was particularly fantastic to someone who hadn't wanted all this. It wasn't exactly a childhood dream to become a vamp and join a vamp-type army for the whole of eternity. Sebastian clearly picked up on my inner conflict and pounced on it.
You may not particularly like the fact that you are a vampire, but you have the opportunity now to take your situation and make something good of it, to rise above the suppression that it has so far had on you, to illustrate to vampire kind and to Victor that you are much more than his pet, that he cannot control you any longer. And if you decline, you'll have the remainder of your immortal life to question that decision and wonder what would have or could have been. So, which will it be?
A queasy feeling overcame my stomach as I was teleported by the vampire that Sebastian summoned to bring us to the Grand High Bloke's mansion. It was more like a museum with its ornate columns, rare artifacts and statues of unnecessarily naked people. The walls were a brilliant white with massive pieces of art scattered here and there. The floor was a beige marble that was so well polished I could see my reflection in it. The bright walls and marble flooring continued throughout the house as I followed Sebastian along a corridor that was as wide as a standard room and as long as... well, it looked eternally long. Like markers, Tall Hungarian vampires were planted all over the place. Guards, obviously. The power humming around them indicated that, although they were merely guards, they were actually master vampires. Behind us, one of the servants elegantly strolled with my bulging duffel bag. He was extremely tall and had an Egyptian look about him. Occasionally, as we walked, I'd see a small sitting area branching off the corridor. Everything gleamed and reflected. Even with clean hands, I'd be frightened to touch anything in case I dirtied it. Sebastian finally stopped at another sitting area, which had a huge sofa/bench in front of a set of extravagant patio doors. "I'll be back momentarily," was all he said. The servant placed my bag near the bench, nodded once, and then strode off. Too restless to sit down, being in strange places made me edgy. I strolled over to the patio doors. The small balcony overlooked a large swimming pool, which was, uniquely, the shape of a bat with its wings outstretched. It was nice to know that the big man wasn't without a sense of humour. Unless your vampiric gift was shape-shifting, morphing into bats didn't come with vampirism. Noticing that one of the doors was slightly ajar, I quietly stepped out and absorbed the nighttime. Beyond the pool was a beautiful beach decorated with palm trees. So he really did live in the Caribbean. I imagined that the place would look all the more inviting in the sun. Although sunlight didn't affect us in any way, we were nocturnal and naturally preferred the cover of darkness for hunting. A lover of swimming, I was unable to resist a trip down the small set of steps to the pool, where the water twinkled in the moonlight. I was just about to dip my fingers in when there was a huge splash and the water began lapping against the edges. My gaze found a delicious sight that sparked a rush in my blood. Burly shoulders and arms seemed to glide across the surface of the water as the swimmer moved with total ease. Even from the opposite end of the pool, his gorgeousness was apparent. His chiseled facial features and perfect bone structure made me think of the statues inside the mansion. The way his jaw was set gave him a very determined look. His hair was short, but not so short that I couldn't run my hands through it. Bloody hell, where had that sleazy thought come from? And then he caught me staring, and I couldn't think of anything to say to excuse myself. He didn't speak as he climbed out of the pool, all the while looking at me suspiciously, probably contemplating the idea that I could be some kind of stalker. As he approached me, dabbing himself with a towel, I tried to concentrate on his intense hazel eyes rather than his alluring pale skin, or his mostly naked body which was as defined as they came. Heat shot through me as a heavy throb of desire settled low in my stomach. Up close, I could see that not only did he have a red tint to his irises, marking him as a Pegori vampire, but that those irises were glowing. He was either a pissed, horny or thirsty Pegori vampire. Not good.
What are you doing out here?
What a welcome. Not that I would expect a Pegori to ever be anything but moody. They were naturally irritable and easily became aggressive. So would I be if my irises flashed red. The Pegori strength came with a price. So did the Kasia beauty. They had fangs. I'm just...
Are you a friend of Joy's?
He was appraising me from head to toe now, making me feel self-conscious. His nostrils flared as he took in my scent.
Or a servant?
No, I...
Only a select number of servants are permitted to have access to this section of the house.
Well, that's great for them, but I'm...
This pool is especially off-limits.
I huffed. Do you always interrupt people mid-sentence? His mouth curved up on one side.
British, he observed in an approving tone.
I quite liked the South Californian twang to his American accent, too. After a short pause, made uncomfortable by how much he was staring, he said,
"You're new here. Who is it you're working for?"
"Depends how the tryout goes."
"Tryout?"
"For the Legion." He looked taken aback, but didn't miss a beat.
"Tell me you're kidding."
His grin was mocking.
"Tell me you're not here hoping to try for a place in the Legion."
When I didn't say anything, he laughed.
"Let me give you some advice. Run along home."
"Why?"
Because I'm a girl?
Yes.
What an arrogant little sod. I folded my arms across my chest and snorted. Are you for real?
Listen, this isn't a cheerleading squad. You don't get points for being pretty. It's some serious shit, which is why a girl has never been accepted and never will be. There's no place for a female in the Legion.
Sebastian had failed to mention the past lack of success for females. I had to wonder just how widespread this misogynistic view was in this place. You do know it's not 1735, don't you?
I'm just stating a fact.
No, you're blurting out a prejudiced opinion. He shook his head.
Even if you were a guy, I'd be telling you to go home right now. For one thing, going by the fact that your skin tone isn't very pale, I'd say you're only a few years old. That's just not enough experience as a vampire for you to have a chance at landing a spot in the Legion. For another, no Svente vampire has ever had any success with the tryout.
Sebastian had failed to mention that as well. A man of few words, apparently. So you're prejudiced against women, young vampires, and against another breed of vampire. I bet you're a delight to have around.
Take my advice. Don't put yourself through the embarrassment of going to the tryout. Just go home.
Before I could yell at him for being a sexist sod, he had walked around me and disappeared through the patio doors. A little shocked, I slowly returned inside, just as Sebastian was coming to summon me.
Ready?
I considered telling him to stuff it, that it wasn't worth it, but I knew I could handle myself and my gift well. It was too tempting to attend the tryout, just to irritate the bigot Pagori. Ready. I marched behind Sebastian down the corridor again, until we reached another set of patio doors, much more extravagant than the last. We then walked along a narrow, cobbled path that zigzagged through the well-maintained garden, en route to an outbuilding which, I soon realized, was actually an enclosed arena. Inside, the ground resembled a large horse paddock, a sandy floor with the letters A to D representing north, east, south, and west. Also inside was a line of blokes, about 15 in all.
Sam, you need to join the line, said Sebastian. I'll be observing from there.
He pointed to what looked like a glass VIP spectator's box.
Good luck.
And then Sebastian was gone, and I was alone. Alone, because each and every one of the 15 vampires looked at me like I was a leper when I joined the line. There were sniggers and snorts and whispers and gasps of amusement. I ignored it all and stood still, calming my irritated self and trying to anticipate what the test might be. Probably dueling, I decided. The only advice that Sebastian had given me was to wear something that would promote flexibility. Hence why I was dressed in my black sweatpants, a white T-shirt with a white sports bra underneath, and my cross trainers. I tied my long, dark hair back in a high ponytail to keep it from falling around my face. While I tried to get my head in the right place, another four blokes entered. They joined in on the laugh-at-the-girl crap. All in all, there were now 20 of us, and I was the smallest, and the only female, and the only Svente. Oh, joy. 5 were Kasia's, the rest were Pagori's. After a further 10 minutes or so, 3 male vampires strolled in, all carrying an air of authority and power, and everyone immediately went silent. The assessors, I guessed. The first was Acacia, extremely tall and bold, with dark skin that had paled slightly, due to the vampirism. He was all elegance and composure. The second was a well-built Pagori, with a studious gaze and tousled auburn hair. At total variance to the first vampire, he was casually dressed in jeans and a "life sucks, then you become a vamp" T-shirt. The third was also a Pagori, and the sexist sod from earlier. He spotted me and smirked evilly. Ah, bollocks. If a final decision came down to him, I was definitely going back home. But I refused to be intimidated or made to feel unsure of myself, so I straightened my posture and arched a sardonic brow at him. He didn't like that. He looked away, sniggering. Folding his arms, he began pacing in front of the line of potential recruits as he spoke in a clear, authoritative voice.
All right, everyone, listen up. I'm Commander Jared Michaels.
Beside me are Commander Will Norton.
He gestured to the casually dressed Pagori, who nodded, wearing a half-smile.
And Commander Lou Sherman.
The Kaja also nodded. Jared the Bigot continued.
As has already been explained to you, our Grand High Master wishes to replace his squad of 10 that was recently annihilated. I will be commanding that squad.
He looked hard at me with those words. It turned out that he was just as appealing dressed as semi-naked. He was made even more alluring by that black, knee-length, Matrix-style leather jacket he was wearing. Why couldn't he be ugly? Then maybe Need wouldn't be tugging at me. Now that his hair was dry, I could see that it was a lovely shade of chestnut. I'd love to yank every strand of it out.
There have been 4 other tryouts before this one, he told us. And I now have 3 spaces left to fill. Hopefully 3 of you will meet the criteria for the squad.
He halted in front of me, as his gaze flicked over each vampire in the line, except for me.
You've all been selected for one reason or another. Maybe it's your strength, maybe it's your fighting skills, or maybe it's your gift. But if you can't control your bloodlust, all of that means nothing to me.
He signaled to someone sat above the spectator's box, and then suddenly gas began pouring out of hoses that were protruding from the roof. No, not gas. Worse. Various scents of blood now circulated around us, shooting up my nostrils and making my head swirl. And now, even though I usually didn't have an overpowering bloodlust, I was incredibly thirsty.
In any kind of battle, blood will be spilled, said Jared. This is what it will feel like to be on a battlefield. Varying blood scents will be swirling around you. It is important that you can still be focused, alert, and controlled, and that you can resist your bloodlust.
I didn't glance along the line of vampires, but I could feel the nervousness and anxiety among them, feelings that amplified as Jared brought over a human. I didn't even see where he came from. He had thin lines of blood slowly dripping down from a bite mark on his neck, heading toward his bare chest.
You,
called Jared, signaling to one of the blokes in the line. He ushered him over and had him stand in front of the human. It was apparent that the Pagori was mesmerized by the sight, but he did nothing other than tremble a little. After about 30 seconds, Jared nodded at him to move away. The Pagori exhaled heavily as he went. Jared then selected another from the line, then another, and another. I, unsurprisingly, was left till last. By the time Jared called me forward to stand before the human, the blood was dripping down his legs. A year ago, I would have been as mesmerized as some of the others had been. I might even have stepped toward the human for a quick taste, just like 2 of the other vampires had. Needless to say, they were now on their way home. But with Victor as your sire, life was gory. You got used to it, or you went insane. Jared didn't look pleased by my perfect composure. I wasn't trembling or swallowing hard or squeezing my eyes closed or trying to hold my breath like some of the others had. A mischievous smirk surfaced on his face as he used his forefinger to collect a little blood from one of the ribbons trailing down the human. He tried teasing my nostrils, wafting his finger right under my nose. The teasing didn't work, which clearly irritated him. He brought the finger toward my lips, hoping to tempt me to at least try to lick it off. But I didn't. Even though my body was curious and thirsty, I gave no reaction to Jared's teasing. Instead, I held his gorgeous hazel eyes with a defiant stare. At last he dropped his hand, sighing loudly.
The next part of the tryout is going to test you physically, he announced to us as I returned to the line.
He signaled with his hand for us all to follow behind him. He led us outside and over to a small forest which was made up of trees that were various shades of green and looked beautifully exotic. Scents of wildlife immediately hit me. I wondered if the vampires here ever hunted the animals. I'd never tried them myself.
Hey, you really think you can pass this?
Asked the Pagori, who was now walking alongside me. He'd said it as though he believed I was mentally challenged. Apparently he found my presence here just as ridiculous as Jared did, which was a shame, really, because he was actually good-looking, and I didn't want to think of him as a wanker. His mousy hair had been shaven to stubble, and the style suited him really well, giving him quite an intense look. His blue eyes were shining in amusement as he appraised my slender figure, which didn't even have a muscle to pull. "Don't tell me you feel threatened by a woman."
"Hey, I believe in equality and all that, but there is no way you'll pass this."
"Enough talking," snapped Jared, stopping where the trees began.
A group of vampires, all male, typical, were waiting there. Going by their militant posture and the respectful bow of the head that they each gave to Jared, I guessed that they were members of the Legion. Jared informed us.
"Your aim in this task is to reach the end of the forest in the fastest time that you can. Three things you need to know. One, you can't step on the floor. You can use the trees, logs, rocks, but not even once can you step foot on the ground. Two, you are not permitted to use your own unique gifts. This is all about your strength, speed, and agility. Yes, before you ask, I do have people watching. The third thing you need to know is that you will have someone chasing you the entire time. If they catch you, task over."
Anxious with anticipation, I watched as each vampire took their turn at the task. Each had a 10-second head start before a member of the Legion was on their tail. Most seemed to be completing the task within 40 seconds, providing they weren't first caught. Of course, from outside the forest, I couldn't see a thing. It wasn't until they returned through the forest that Jared would be told of the applicant's success, or lack thereof. Standing there, waiting for my own turn, was agonizing. I couldn't even plan a strategy, as I had no view of what the forest was like inside. Worse still, the members of the Legion that were stood here were all Pagoris. There was no way to outrun a Pagori, unless you were one yourself. Sure, Sventes were stronger and faster than the fittest human, but it didn't compare to Pagori strengths and speed. However, there was one thing that could go in my favor. Pagoris lacked agility. Svente vampires, on the other hand, had the dexterity and sprightliness of a jungle cat. If these Legion members weren't used to working alongside Sventes, they might not be prepared for it. So if I tapped into that and also made good use of my head start, there was a chance. I didn't like how slim that chance was, of succeeding. Was it any wonder that I was left till last to do the task? Or that Jared paired me up with the stockiest Legion member of the lot to chase after me? Jared gave me the fakest, most patronizing good luck that I'd ever heard, so I gave him the fakest, most patronizing thank you that he had ever heard. It felt like forever before Jared finally said,
"Go!"
I sprung forward with as much force as I could, grabbing hold of the nearest branch for only a fleeting moment before then swinging to the next one ahead of me. Never letting myself forget that soon I would be pursued, I zoomed through the forest with such grace and litheness, like a feather in the wind. Plenty of logs and boulders scattered the ground, but for now I was relying only on tree branches. Bouncing from branches to boulders and back again would be nice and creative, but would slow my speed. That was the last thing I needed. Before long, I could hear my pursuer, and there was no sign yet of the end of the forest. I put more force behind my swings, but the Pagori behind me was fast, and I knew that I couldn't stay out of his reach for much longer.
"Oh, he's a-comin',"
he called out in a fake and somewhat odd accent. Clearly, he considered himself playful and believed this was a game that he was going to win. Oh, crap. He may just win it. Up ahead, there was a wide river. Plenty of rocks stuck out of it, and although I could easily dash across them, that would slow me down. I almost felt dispirited, until I saw what was beyond the river, the end of the forest. As I noticed the fallen tree in front of the river, an idea entered my head.
"Don't hurt yourself now," the Pagori was shouting in a patronizing voice.
"Oh, swipe." As I reached the river, I landed nimbly on the fallen tree and pushed hard on my legs as I leaped into the air. Almost there, almost there. Down. Ha! I'd cleared the river.
"Fuck me," exclaimed the Pagori in surprise.
"I'd rather not." Swinging from branches again, I could hear the Pagori stomping across the rocks. Apparently, he couldn't match my leap. One more swing. Yes! I celebrated in my head as my feet met the ground outside of the forest. 3 seconds later, the blonde Pagori was beside me. He shook his head at me, his smile filled with surprise, and his eyes glowing with respect.
"What's your name?"
The Australian had dropped his playful accent now. "Sam."
"Well, Sam, I think I've just fallen in love."
His state of disbelief now had him chuckling.
"Come on."
We ran back through the forest at vampire speed, finding Jared waiting at the mouth of it. He seemed amused, until the Pagori spoke.
"She's like a wood nymph or something."
He shook his head.
"I can't believe she did it."
The look on Jared's face was priceless.
"Green, are you saying she outran you?"
He nodded.
"You should have seen her leap over the river. She completely cleared it."
He patted me on the back and then waltzed over to his comrades, telling them about the chase. Whereas Green was dazed yet excited, Jared was dazed but irritated. The other blokes weren't laughing anymore, but they were still looking at me oddly and whispering. Then I got extremely cheesed off when I heard one of them suggesting to another that I must have given Green a blowjob to get him to say I'd outrun him. I stomped hard on his foot and shot him a scowl. He didn't seem confident enough to scowl back. Were they all arsewipes? The Pagori, who'd earlier assured me that I wouldn't pass the tryout, stared at me curiously.
"You sure you're not a disguised Pagori vampire on crack?"
"Oh, shut it, slaphead." He just chuckled.
"For the final stage, we'll return inside."
Jared's walk was filled with that much frustration that he was almost marching. I knew as I entered the building and joined the line in front of Jared that my smugness must be apparent on my face because he was glowering madly at me. I snorted.
"The final stage," he drawled, "is combat. This is where you get to use your gifts. In the Legion, we train to avoid up-close and personal combat, as this only tires a vampire and leads to more injuries. Instead, we like to rely mostly on our gifts, aiding us to attack from afar. For this stage, the effectiveness of your gift will be just as important as your control of it. There are now only 7 of you left. From what I've seen so far, I'm confident that the 3 spaces I have left in the squad will be filled today, which means 4 of you will be going home."
Jared first matched up one of the 2 remaining Kasias with a Pagori.
"Your aim is to outmatch your opponent, not to kill or cause any harm that can't be fixed by our self-healing."
Contrary to mythology, vampires could be killed in lots of ways. A stab to the heart would do the trick, purely because we needed it beating just as much as a human. We could also be bled out if our injuries were too extensive. Being starved of blood for more than 4 weeks was another way to go. In addition, a lot of vampires had deadly gifts that would just as effectively kill us as they would a human. Both the Kasia and the Pagori were good. They stayed clear of each other, as instructed. Their powers were impressive. Although the Kasia was a conjurer and was materializing weapons, the Pagori could secrete smoke from his hands, making the room hazy, and thus preventing the Kasia from finding his target. As such, the Pagori seized a weapon on a bad throw and used it against the conjurer. Combat done and dusted. Jared then paired up the other Kasia with another of the Pagoris. The Kasia was exhaling tiny thorns, which I guessed were poisonous to some degree. However, as his opponent had the power to deflect or negate anything thrown at him with just the wave of his hand, the thorns simply hit the floor each time. I never got to see what effect exactly the thorns could have, as Jared stopped the duel on realizing they were both as good as each other. The last 2 Pagoris were next, one being the annoying but cute slaphead. He winked at me before confidently heading to the northern part of the building. His gift was so extraordinary that the whole thing was over in seconds. He had the power to cause temporary sensory paralysis, rendering his opponent blind, deaf, and mute. As such, he was shooting his superhuman breath blindly, literally. I was next, and I lacked an opponent. Jared sighed and stared at me through narrowed eyes. I half expected him to say, "I'm afraid there's no one to duel with you. You'll have to run along home." But instead, he started removing his jacket.
"I guess I'll have to be your dueling partner."
Chapter 2. Sam. A giggle almost choked me.
"You're joking, right?"
He arched his brow and gave me an "Are you scared?" look. I hadn't been giggling with nerves or fear. I just couldn't believe my luck. Even if it turned out that he had the most amazing gift in the history of the universe and beat me within a second, I'd still be a happy girl just to get one shot in. He positioned himself at the northern point while I took the southern. Still, he was mistaking my giddiness for nerves.
"I already told you there are no points for being a pretty girl. You really should have run along home. I tell you what, I'll give you one more chance to leave with your pride still intact."
"And while I appreciate the warning, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ignore it."
"Fine, then. We'll duel until one of us is floored."
"Sounds like fun."
"Well, if you really must embarrass yourself."
The movement was so fast that it was a blur, but my mind registered his left hand rise and his fingers twitch, and admired as beautiful blue sparks of electricity came predatorily toward me. Still, I didn't move out of the way. The sparks invaded my body with such aggression that I was suddenly zooming backwards and landed awkwardly on my back. God, it hurt, like a burning hot sizzling fire spreading through my veins. It took a lot for me not to cry out. Seconds later, I bounced to my feet, feeling a little frazzled and slightly unsteady. Jared was laughing like a giddy kid in a fairground. "Thanks for that," I said.
"For putting you on your ass?"
"No, for this." In a movement faster than what his had been, I expelled the sizzling energy from my body, sending blue electric sparks identical to his soaring at him. Although he made a dive to the right, his shoulder was briefly caught.
"What the hell?" he exclaimed.
He then watched carefully as my fingers prickled at the air around me, drawing and manipulating energy to manifest my favorite weapon. A silvery blue energy whip materialized in my hand.
"You're a feeder," Jared realized.
"And you're electrokinetic." He seemed to be talking more to himself as he added,
"You can feed on the energy around you, absorb it and control it. Very rare."
"Again, let me thank you for allowing me to absorb that power of yours. I have to say, I prefer this, though." I teasingly flicked my whip in his direction. "I can shape the energy into lots of different weapons. Bolts, beams, balls. But I like the whip best. It's more fun."
"It is," he agreed with a nervous smile. "But it's not going to do you much good against high-voltage electricity."
I snorted. "As you Americans say, duh, you're forgetting that I can practice electrokinesis now as well."
"So you're planning on defeating me by using my own power against me? Sounds a little like cheating."
"Oh, I've no time for pretty sparks. I can do something much more interesting than that."
"Oh, yeah?"
Doubtful, his expression said. "Yeah." I let the whip fade away. "Feeding on energy means that I can tap into the natural energies, which means I can do this." I absorbed more energy into my palms and then sharply released it as a blast of air. The gust of wind swept him up like he was no more than a leaf on the ground and sent him crashing into the wall behind him. By natural energies, I meant the classical elements: air, water, fire, and earth. Jared was on his feet in seconds, looking somewhat bemused and confounded. "That wasn't even full force," I told him. "Are you sure you want to do this? I tell you what, I'll give you one more chance to leave with your pride still intact." He wasn't pleased to hear his own words coming back at him. Unsurprisingly, the blue sparks headed for me again. The strong sizzles in the air told me that this discharge was double the voltage of the last. One single sharp step to the left took me out of reach of the electrical discharge. I enjoyed the sensation of my palms sucking in more energy, which I used to generate a blast of fire. It tingled as it left my hands. I could have burned him alive, but I settled on simply setting his clothes alight. Then I took a brief, morbid moment to enjoy his dismay before easing more energy into me and sending a long swish of water at him, calming the flames and drenching him. "You all right, Commander?" My tone was mocking. "You're looking like something off an appeal poster." Totally pissed now, Jared growled as he raised his hand high and projected a massive lightning bolt. The voltage was so high that there was a ripple in the air, but I'd preempted him. I squatted on the floor, slapped my palm to the ground on my right side, and raised my arm over me to then slap my palm on my left side. Simultaneously, I'd tugged at the surrounding energy, making a beautiful silvery-blue energy shield appear over me like a tent. The lightning ricocheted off the force field, slamming into the eastern wall. Before Jared could act again, I sprung up in less than a blink, remolding the energy from the shield into a silvery-blue ball. I hurled it at him. He moved fast, but not fast enough. It struck his arm, making him jerk with the impact. Trying to appear unfazed, he raised both hands this time and emitted more streams of blue sparks. Wow, he really wanted to hurt me. And that really would hurt. I pounded my foot twice on the ground, absorbed the energy of the earth into me, and let it sprout out as a mound of earth that rose speedily in front of me. Jared, relentless, was sapping the protective boulder when I darted out from behind it, my energy whip back in hand. I cracked the whip around him, pinning his arms to his sides, and yanked hard to bring a tied-up Jared toward me. Just for fun, I cracked the whip again, making him slam once to the ground, before I then let the whip fade away. I looked down at a coughing Jared and arched a brow. Now who's the pretty girl? Although he appeared a mixture of nettled, flabbergasted, and stupefied, his mouth twitched slightly in some form of dark amusement. I offered my hand to him, but he bounced independently to his feet, still staring at me. He seemed undecided whether to be extremely exasperated or pleasantly surprised. Either way, there was some respect there in his gaze. It was hard for me not to look smug, considering the way he had dismissed me earlier. But I didn't give him an I-told-you-so look or a quirky grin. Disconcertingly, I was actually more caught up in this little silent exchange of respect than I was in the glory of having won the duel. He might be a chauvinist, but he was a gorgeous one. "Didn't I tell you she was fast?" said Green as he joined Jared. Slaphead came next. "Definitely a disguised Pagorian crack," he decided as he clucked me. "Know that you can practice on me with that whip any time." Jared didn't look amused by that and squared his shoulders. "Please all return to the line while I consult with Commander Sherman and Commander Norton." "And I thought my gift was cool," said Slaphead, as we joined the end of the reforming line below the spectator's box. I glanced up at Sebastian. Grinning with satisfaction and pride, he saluted me. I smiled. "I'm Max, by the way," Slaphead told me as he held out his hand. I took it. "Sam, I prefer to call you Slaphead, though." He laughed.
"Whatever turns you on. Hey, feeders are really rare. I heard that most feeders go crazy and die after a few years because all the energy overwhelms them."
Distracting me from responding, I caught Jared swerve and meet my eyes. His expression was thoughtful. For a moment, I considered smiling at him. I'm actually not much of a smiler, so that was odd.
"Good luck," said the thorn-exhaling cager vampire as he appeared on my right.
"I win a duel, and suddenly everyone's nicey-nicey." I simply nodded. Finally, the three commanders came to stand before the line. Jared's gaze settled on each of the recruits, including me this time, for a few seconds before he spoke.
"Between us, we've selected three of you to join my squad. The rest of you will be required to return home immediately."
He began a slow walk along the line of recruits. Halting in front of the Pagori with the power to deflect, he pointed at him with a congratulatory look on his face.
"Well done."
Next, he stopped at Max and pointed. No surprise there, Max's power was exceptional. Then Jared came to the end of the line, standing between myself and the thorn-exhaling Kasia. He looked at each of us, then slowly raised his hand, extended his index finger, and pointed at the cage. What a fucking little shit. Instantly there were murmurs and gasps. Whether those were of surprise or disagreement, I didn't know. I didn't care to find out. Congratulations, I said to Max and the cage beside me. Then I twirled sharply and paced away.
Sam!
Max caught up with me and sighed.
You should have gotten a place. You deserved it more than any of us.
It's all right, I said, though my tone made it very clear that it wasn't. I let my eyes track Jared, who was staring at me with a crease between his eyebrows. As I spoke to Max, I continued to look hard at Jared. I wouldn't want to work for a sexist twat anyway. As I stormed away, I couldn't decide what incensed me more. The fact that I hadn't been given a place in the Legion even after proving myself, or the fact that this bothered me so much. It was only then that I realized that I hadn't just wanted a place to spite Victor, or to escape him, or even to annoy Jared. The truth was that I'd wanted to be a part of the picture that Sebastian had tried selling me, to make the most out of the life I now had, whether it had been my choosing or not. I wanted to be part of something important, to have a purpose beyond Victor's plans for me. Sebastian traveled with vampire speed to my side.
It's fine, really.
But I'd said it too sharply. I didn't sound in the least bit convincing.
I intend to dispute Jared's decision. His judgment was impaired by his...
Really, Sebastian, don't bother, I advised him gently, as we entered the museum-like house. If I had to see Jared's ugly mug every day, I'd probably stake him.
Yes, I imagine you would,
agreed an amused, unfamiliar voice before me. It belonged to a Latino-looking Keja, though he spoke in a very clear American accent, with shoulder-length, thick, coal-black hair and the widest eyes. Everything about the way he conducted himself while he slowly circled me spoke of pure power. This had to be the Grand High Master himself. Flanking him were two Pagori vampires, both looking robotic and fearless. Sebastian whispered down my ear.
This is the Grand High...
Oh, I know, I said, irritated. I'm not thick. I simply gave the big man a half-smile. I knew I wasn't being very respectful, but he couldn't do anything worse to me than what Victor would do when he found out I'd taken part in the tryout. No doubt my good old sire would taunt me about how I hadn't been successful.
Miss Samantha Parker, he greeted. I am Antonio.
Well, hi and bye. I proceeded to walk past him.
Might I have a few moments of your time? Antonio asked.
I twirled round, intending to tell him no. He could do a run and jump because I was getting out of this place that was stuck in the 1700s. But then he smiled at me, and his eyes held tightly to mine. Suddenly, I didn't feel so angry anymore. That bloody Keja hypnotic beauty.
Look, I don't mean to be rude, it's just that I have to be getting back. To Victor? I have to say that I don't much approve of your sire. Everything I've heard about him from my researchers has indicated him to be a vampire of cruelty.
At that, I stiffened. I felt defensive at the thought of people checking up on my personal business, especially considering what my life with Victor was like.
You intrigue me, Miss Parker. Your presence, your self-expression, your determination. Fascinating.
He gestured for me to follow him.
I promise not to keep you long.
Instantly he began walking, all elegance and grace, down the everlasting hallway. Sebastian nodded encouragingly at me. Rolling my eyes, I followed Antonio and his hefty bodyguards. Antonio didn't halt until we reached the most eastern point of what was proving to be a gigantic mansion. The room he ushered us into was bigger than my flat. Some sort of parlor, very posh. The walls were lined with books, and there was a beautiful marble fireplace. In the corner sat a grand piano, and in the center were two black leather sofas that framed a glass coffee table. Suddenly, two dogs dashed toward us, growling and barking.
Quiet,
said Antonio simply. They quieted. I love pit bull terriers, I told him. One was reddish-brown, while the other was brindle.
I would not approach them if I were you. They can be quite...
Antonio watched, stunned, as the two dogs approached me and nuzzled my hands, hinting for a stroke.
Oh, they are usually only so friendly with me. That is how I like it.
He frowned at the dogs. Well, it made sense that he'd want them to only be loyal to him. I think it's because I can absorb any excess energy they've got. It makes them more relaxed. His frown morphed into a smile.
Please sit,
he invited, gesturing to one of the sofas. Feeling completely out of place among all the luxury, I gingerly sat. Sebastian lounged beside me, fitting the atmosphere like he was an ornament. Holding my gaze the entire time, Antonio sat opposite me and crossed one leg over the other.
You're a feeder,
he eventually said, his tone soft and curious. Yes.
Did you know that the gift has only ever run through Pagori bloodlines before you? This means that not only are you the first female feeder, you are the first Svente feeder.
So I've been told. Victor had been thrilled about it. I was his key to more territory.
I observed the tryout from the spectator's box. I deeply enjoyed your duel with Jared.
I snorted on hearing that name. Antonio smiled in amusement.
You were not a fan of his? I do not think I have ever before met a female who was not.
The guards laughed at that. Oh, so they weren't robots. I snorted again. I can't think why. If you observed the tryout, you must have seen the way he acted. Antonio jiggled his head.
Admittedly, he was a little discourteous.
Oh, let's just call it what it is, shall we? He's an ignorant, arrogant, narrow-minded bigot. Again, Antonio seemed amused.
He's also my heir. Out of hundreds, I made him my heir 6 years ago.
Bad decision on your part. I could feel Sebastian's eyes drilling into me, cautioning me.
It is fine, Sebastian, Antonio told him, waving a hand. I like her frankness.
Antonio looked at me again.
I know that Jared does still have things to learn. In fact, his biggest weakness is that he does not realize that there are still things for him to learn. But pride aside, he is an asset to me. He is very devoted to me and to my legion. He, much like you, has great drive about him. And he is an excellent trainer. I could hand him a newborn vampire, and within a month, Jared would make him a model warrior.
Antonio seemed to be waiting for me to respond, maybe concede that there was more to Jared than what I'd seen. Hardly likely. That's great, I said in a flippant tone.
I want my new squad trained quickly. Physically, they will be prepared. I am confident that Jared will ensure this. However, with regards to learning the new recruits how to control and best utilize their gifts, I believe that Jared may... struggle to have them prepared so quickly. He's an excellent motivator, but not the best teacher. You, on the other hand, I believe that you are just what I need. I want you to work with Jared.
Oh, this had been a surreal 24 hours. Say again. His laugh was silent.
You will be thought of as an employee, a commander in your own right, an equal to Jared and the other commanders.
I waited for the punchline, but there didn't appear to be one. You think I'd make a good commander because I'm a feeder?
No, because you have tremendous control of your gift. Not many can boast of that. For a feeder, a type of vampire known for being too overwhelmed by their own gift to live much longer than a couple of years, to have such tremendous control is astonishing. Yes, I am confident that you would be an asset to me and my legion.
I cast a look at Sebastian. His face was all, go for it. I turned back to Antonio. You know that Jared would hate this, right? Antonio raised his brows.
You would allow that to influence your decision about accepting such a position?
No, but I don't want to accept your offer and then later be told to go back home because Airboy had a tantrum.
Jared may be my heir, but I cast all final decisions on every matter. He knows this. He respects this.
The brindle pit bull terrier laid his head on my lap and stared up at me with an almost pleading expression on his face. Not that I thought the dog understood what was going on and was begging me to take up Antonio's offer, but I felt like it was a sign. Hopefully that sounded less psychotic.
Jared.